historical seminar. It was never given before like this. And I'm obviously as nervous as you are. I want to, before we start with the seminar, explain to you a little bit about the contents of what we are going to go through. This morning we will go through death as it appears in the Western culture. It will be quite intense and maybe a little shocking. Now, I don't think you will we will need to see, is there anyone who speaks only Slovenian? Yes, I can see this, but please go to this very qualified translator called Narakara. Oh, please move yourself. So in the second part, this afternoon, we will hear about death and dying and reincarnation as it appears in the traditional Vedic culture. And tomorrow morning, we will start with the most essential part of our program, that is how to prepare for death. I want to tell you also how I personally came about to give this seminar. 3 years ago, a young disciple of mine went into the hospital and started to die. I was requested to come and help, but I noticed all of a sudden how helpless I was in dealing with death. I was very disturbed, and I could not really help this person as much as I wanted to help. So then I decided to look at death a little bit more closer. And I found out that death is my guru. Please understand, there are different forms of spiritual masters, and one is called the spiritual master who shows us the way. Personally, I became very interested in Krishna consciousness as a possible solution for the questions of life. When I met death, listen very carefully. At that time we were in the studio. I was not yet in Krishna consciousness, and we waited for our young guitar player, Medyutin. He did not come. What came was a phone call by his girlfriend, who was crying on the phone and telling me, "Oh, he has just been in an accident where he has lost his life. He died in the hospital, but no one could help him." And I remember the pain which went in my heart. Then, a few days later, I was requested to come to his burial. Then he was, you know, put in a coffin and then in the earth. And the people of his family, his father and mother, asked me, "Please, you were so close to him. Throw the first earth on his coffin." And I remember I was standing before this dirty hole in the ground. It was raining. My friend, or was it my friend, was lying in the coffin, and I threw down some earth. And I remember at that time all the senselessness of material existence overwhelmed me. If this is the end of everything, a dirty hole in the ground where someone is put. What is the meaning of life? The second question, where is my friend now? Has he really gone, or is there any chance, any little chance, that we could possibly meet again and he can be the guitar player in a new band? I will remember this question very deeply. And at that time there was no answer to these two questions. What is the meaning of life if we have to lose everything in a dirty hole? And what is life really? Is it just a path from birth to death, or is there something more to it? So in this way, death became my guru. He put some deep questions in my mind, and I became absorbed in my life to solve these questions. It was a year later where I found answers to these questions in meeting my own spiritual master. And now I'm standing before you, and I hope to do the same thing. I hope to make you really interested to solve the problems of life. I hope to equip you, or make you able to conquer birth and death in this life. And I hope that with this seminar you will learn how to become immortal, an eternal soul who does not have to see birth and death. Okay, but now we will start the seminar. I will not speak now. I will let death introduce himself in pictures. I can imagine that you will have to change a little bit your places. You will have to see, look on this screen here. Maybe you have to get up and look. But afterwards you can go back to your places. We need to take the lights out. It was not planned, but it does sometimes happen that we are in the midst of doing something, and then death comes, almost as if we are not allowed to finish our dearmost projects. So, we can see the slideshow maybe back in the evening, but we won't continue now. Shishtikata will try to repair it, but maybe the projector has died forever. Du solltest jetzt auch nicht Unruhe machen, sondern. So please open the windows now. While this is being done, I want to see what are your impressions of death. What do you think when you think of death? What is the first thing which comes to mind? Not prepared. We will look at this a little later and see how something has changed during the seminar. What else comes to mind? You can just say afraid. Ooh, fear. Strach. Life. You want to live. I want to live. We are so young, we don't believe it comes. It will not happen to me. So many plans. ignorance about. Yes. Sadness. Don't be sad, Nandimukhi. Sadness. Yes, it makes one cry sometimes. Yes, it will not happen to me. It will happen to me. Test. Hope. Yes. Why hope? Better next life. Yes. Yeah, aware when it's still, maybe like a surprise. This is what you meant? Surprise. Awakening. When I see these pictures, I must do something like this. Awakening. Pain, yes, Horror, Sorry, I couldn't understand. Adventure. Yes. Attachment, yes, I will. Attachment. You don't want to die because you. What is with my dear friends or with my family and so on, and money and so on. My body. Oh, yes. Attachment. Last challenge. Oh, here is. The Adventure Club. Last challenge. Separation. Separation. Material desires. That was already in the attachment. Yes, I put it here, material desires. I wasted so much time. I wasted my time. Yes. I hope to be prepared. Maybe it happens in the seminar, Purnamasi. This is what I really want to do in the seminar. I hope I'll be prepared. Wondering what will it be like. Is this about all, or does someone have love? For whom? Love and death. Romeo and Julia, something like this. Love. Another peace. Fine. finally. Secret. Liberation. This is the end, my only friend. Best friend. Why? Regret that you did not live properly, maybe. Regret, yes. Okay. I think I shall end here. If you have other ideas which come to mind, please keep them in your mind. We will go to this later. I really hope that the paper will come. And here it is. Hare Krishna. Put it on here. Hope that will work. Thank you very much. You came at the right moment. The things which we have written down here, it will not happen to me, it will happen to me. Oh, so many plans which are still unfulfilled. I'm ignorant about death. I have sadness when I think of death. Death is a test, a hope. Peace, secret, separation, attachment, pain, horror. There are many more reactions to death than these ones. There are maybe as many reactions as there are people. Let us look a little bit what people in the Western civilization have thought about death and how they are dealing with it. Death belonged up till the 18th century to the human nature. People were always counting on death. He was like a father or a brother or even a friend whose existence was just accepted as something which could happen any time and which did in fact happen to young children, to middle-aged people and to old people. However, in the 19th century, an important change took place. In the 19th century, we find death as a horror, as a pain, as something which is so entirely unwanted. Goethe wrote about this concept. He said, "We all know about death, but when it happens, it is as if the most unbelievable and unexpected suddenly becomes reality. It is almost an impossibility which suddenly becomes the reality. And this extremely horrible and forceful is shocking everybody deep into his heart. This is a change. Previously, people were counting and thinking death is like a father. Father, I wanted to say. In German, you say Gevatter Tod, Father Death. Or Franciscus of Assisi was saying Sister Death. It's something which belongs to the family, in other words. But in the 19th century, death has become totally shocking. Why is this so? The explanation which is given is that from the beginning of the 19th century, a shift in the consciousness of people took place. Max Weber, a sociologist, calls it the dematerialization of the world. That means you take all the mystique out of the world by modern science. Modern science believes in taking the secrets from nature and making them explainable. In other words, we don't need Zeus or any god to explain a flash in the light, a flash in the sky. We can make the flash ourselves in our light bulbs or by electricity. By taking the secrets out of nature, one hopes to conquer nature and to make nature subservient. That means I can utilize her in man's progress. But there's one thing of nature which never ever agrees to become the servant of mankind. It's death. Death is, so to say, one of the last things which you cannot control. It always controls you. It always comes unannounced, unplanned for. Even the big hospitals can't really take care of death. Now this, and therefore death, has become something which the human beings don't want to know about. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to even measly about it. They are just totally afraid of it, because it's their master, and they are the controlled. Let us look a little bit into the question, how do we experience death nowadays in modern society? Well, I have written down in my notes, we see it in the evening news. Or we see it in its romantic versions, the creamies, where person is attacked and then killed on the TV set or in the film. Sometimes we see death also in wars. I was once in Macedonia in a live broadcast, and before us was what is called now the real TV. There were live recordings of the war in Bosnia, where people were killed by these snipers. It's called the real TV. So we see death in the TV, maybe, or sometimes when we are on the autobahn, we see an accident, and we see a person who has just died on the street. These are shocking pictures of death, but they don't really shock us so much, because we won't die on the TV. We will most probably not die in an accident on the autobahn. Yes, these things shock us a little bit, but not totally, because we can live in the understanding it will not happen to me. I'm except. It just doesn't get me. And people who think like this are correct. Most people die in the bed. But here comes the shocking statistical figure. It's not their own bed. They die in the bed of a hospital, or they die in the bed of an emergency ward. What is emergency ward? You know, ambulance. Or they also die in old age homes. There's a statistic that out of 10 people, 7 to 8 people die not in their own beds, but in a stranger's bed. And they die all alone, without anybody being near there. The near and dear ones are not there, and they die in great despair. Modern society, in other words, by being so much afraid of death, by seeing death as the only, how do you say, the concurrent of material progress, has managed to put death underneath the carpet. But death is not willing to do this. People die in inglorious, lonely death, without being prepared for it, without ever having thought about it. I would say this is the greatest paradox of our society, of our human society. The human being is the only being who knows he is going to die. You can't say it. You can't expect this from an animal, a dog or a cat or a bird. You can't go to him and say, you know one thing? One day you're going to die, and you know, he says, all right, thank you for reminding me. I must prepare myself. No, no. Only the human being can prepare himself. But there is nothing in the world which we are less prepared for than our own inevitable death. Obviously. You follow? I will now tell you what are the consequences of our ignorance, suppression of death. Do you know what is suppressing? Suppression? Yeah. I am not Poonamasi, who can draw very beautifully. I have to... What happens if with great strength you suppress something? You know, it will come out here, and maybe here. If you, for instance, have a little child and you say, don't play, don't play, don't play, it will work for 1 hour, but then he goes like, wah! And there will be a great... surprise, big result. People have suppressed death, but instead, many, many fears have been the result, which have come in their lives and created big problems. There is one Nobel Prize laureate, his name is O. Becker, he says, all anxieties are due to one, or let me say better, all fears are due to one fear only. If we do not manage to solve this deep fear, we we will not be able to take care of all the other little fears which come in our life. Fear, fear. Let me make this clearer, because we have a mainly devotee audience. I will not talk so concentrated, but go to a few examples. I was once, as a young devotee, buying knives, good long knives, for the kitchen, our temple kitchen. And because I was late, to drive back to the temple, and said to the taxi driver, "Everyone is afraid of death." He said, "No, I'm not afraid of death." So I remember, I was angry at the taxi driver because he had dared to not agree with a philosophical point of Krishna consciousness. I was a little bit fanatic. So I decided I will teach him a lesson which he will not forget. So I took one of my knives out, and while we were driving, put the knives on his throat. Now he said, "What are you doing? If you kill me, you will also be killed. You will make an accident." "I'm not afraid of death," I said. "How much money do you want?" he said. "I don't need money, I just want to kill you." And "Don't you know, I've just, two children need me, my wife, and the rates for my taxi. I have to pay them, it's not my property. I have to purchase or give money to the owner of this car. I give you anything." And I took the knife away, said, "Thank you, I just wanted to show you, you are also afraid of death. Do you understand my preaching point?" Please don't do this in Slovenia. It's a small country, and maybe it will be discussed in the newspapers and everywhere that the Hare Krishna people have unusual examples. My point here is not to tell you a nice story so that everyone gets awake. It's a little bit my point, but my main point is usually we are not aware that we are afraid of death. Usually we think, no. It's natural, I guess. One day I have to die or so. But by not confronting this fear, the fear spills out, and by suppressing even the thought, in so many other small, ridiculous types of fear, which are not really, intelligent for a human being. In America, there was a questionnaire, an investigation which was meant to find out what people are afraid of. And on first place was fear to speak in public. That's what I'm doing now. People were deadly afraid. Another was fear to lose health, or the money. don't say they are afraid of death. It was maybe on the 15th or 20th place of the list. So I decided to make a little investigation on this. One day I met a person and said, "What are you most afraid of?" He said, "It's Germany now. You may not know the German economy goes down like very fast, actually." And the person was saying, "I'm afraid to lose my job." I said, "Why?" "Well, then I don't have any novats." "What's so bad about not having money?" So he looked at me and said, "I live very happily. I don't have much money. Krishna takes care. What's so bad about not having money?" So he had to think. "Well, if I don't have money, then I can't eat." I said, "Bravo, congratulations. No need to eat, that's very good. Then you don't have to go to the bathroom so long. No problem of digestion. You're not tired like those of you who have eaten a healthy breakfast and are now digesting it." Then he said, "No, you don't understand. If I don't eat, then I die." I said, now we have it. You are really afraid of death. But because you have been perfectly able to suppress it, all these other health fears come. Why are you afraid to lose your health? Because ultimately this means finally death. Why are you afraid to speak in public? Because then everyone will see you are only an ordinary fool. You will not look very... It's like a public death. If I speak now something extremely foolish and no one will... Then Udata will never invite me back. It's my public death in Slovenia. I don't exist any longer for the Slovenian... for the few people who are in the seminar. Ultimately, death is the great thing we are afraid of. And if we do not manage to solve this anxiety or this fear, then we will be people who have a lot of problems in their lives. Alright, now it's time to have a little experiment. Krishna, it's an experiment on living and dying. For this experiment, I will need the youngest person in this audience and the oldest person in this audience. Let us see who is under 15 years old. You look like the young... How old are you? 8. Who is... Is there someone who is younger than 8 years? No. Thank you. So please come here. You are not afraid? What is your name? Lisa. Dobro.
Please give us, let us have a full applause for Lisa. So now we need the oldest person. You know her probably. May I ask your age? 63. Who is more than 63? No one. Come. Ime? Ime? Miriam. Full applause for Miriam. Now, Lisa, no, please, who you are? Birth. Please tell the Miriam. Your birth. All right. No, sit and stand here. And you are death. So, this is birth, and this is death. What could this be? Life. Very good. It goes from birth to death. Let me ask you now a question. What is the general age of the people here in this audience? 30? Maybe younger? We are usually a youthful movement. 27? Yes? And how long do we expect to live? 80 years? So long! Whoa! In Slovenia, 80? No? 70? Maybe a compromise? 75? Yeah? All right. 75, and what was the general age? No, what was the age which... how long have we lived in general? 27. What is 75 minus 27? I'm... not so good. 48. Okay. My scissors? So Lisa, come here. If this is birth and this is death, we have now. And we have lived 27 years. Then I would say, this much of our life is gone already. Lisa? Voila, Lisa? Sit down. Very good, Lisa. This much of our life. Oh, sorry, we have to... Yes, it's very valuable. No, keep it like this. This much of our life is gone. Do we have any influence on this still? It's gone. What should we do with it? Throw it away. Really? Is there any use? Experience. We can learn from the experience. So we should keep it. Really? I put it here. Not so prominent, but I don't throw it away. So this is the remaining life of all of you who are here in this room. This much, not more, not less. But I can tell you what will happen with this life. If you are a non-devotee, you will sleep half of it and waste it. If you are a devotee, you will try to sleep less So a good portion, not half, maybe this much, you just lose it by sleep. Then you will have to eat and face the consequences in the bathroom. This will take a lot of time. Do you know that every human being, just alone to pass water, he passes 40,000 liters of water in a life. 40,000 liters. That's an ocean. It takes time. And the other also, the excrement. So this time you will most probably spend in the bathroom, brushing the teeth. Then, don't know if you're in Slovenia, you will get many useless telephone calls. People going, whoa, 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 whoa. Then there will be very, very useless prajalpa meetings, where you talk with people and you can't really come to any essence. It's a waste of time. Ooh. Then there will be a lot of time that your mind is just somewhere else. Space out, yes. This is a lot of time. Then you will spend a little in traffic jams. Then you will be angry and in illusion. Then you will spend a little in traffic jams. Then you will be angry and in illusion. You will quarrel even in the best marriage. You will have pain. Thank you, Miriam. This is all you have left out of a long life to take care of the most essential question. Now where you have a human birth and you are going to die, you need to find out what is the purpose of your life. Is this clear? What should we do with this? Put it maybe in a treasure box. Or I will put it here. And later, we will look at it. But, I forgot. Many people are not becoming 75 years of age. Maybe this is what you have. Take good care of it. Don't space out. So this was my first part of my seminar. With it I have discussed. Thank you very much, Miriam. Thank you very much. I hope it was not too shocking for you. It was all right? Good. Oh, good, Miriam. Good, Miriam. Thank you, Lisa. Voila. So, with this first session, I will now make a little pause. With this first session, I have explained the following things. We have seen death. We have analyzed a little bit what are our reactions to death. And we have investigated the question why, although it is so sure that we have to die, we are not really aware of death
And we are not really preparing ourselves nicely. As Jean-Paul Sartre said, death is not a possibility of my life, but it is the annihilation of all my possibilities. You know, people are afraid and suppress it, but this doesn't do any, the fear of death comes out in so many things, and if we don't deal with this properly, we are not making use of our human form of life properly. With our experiment at the very end, I have shown you that really to prepare for death, we only have a little time left, because the rest of the time we're going to eat and sleep and worry and be millions of miles away from the subject matter, and as a result it will not, we will not be there. Now, in the next, we will make a pause in the next session which we will have. Some very interesting subject matters are going to come out. We will look at death in Ljubljana. We have a guest from the newspapers here. We will look a little bit how people deal with death, and we will also be next to a dying man and watch what exactly happens with him at death, so that we are prepared and know what to expect. I would be, this pause will be 15 minutes long. We started late, but now we have the seminar organized. We will start in exactly 15 minutes, so kindly be here in time. It would be good if you are sitting on your chairs in 15 minutes. Hare Krishna. When we are 10 years old, we have usually lost our childhood. When we are 20 years old, we have lost our growth. We stop growing. When we are 30 years old, we lose our beauty. Even if we put schminke on, it is only an illusion which we put on. When we are 40, we start to lose our remembrance and intelligence. That's sometimes when you see me, I will ask them, what about this? Oh, please, Sundarananda, can you tell me the verse? I don't remember just now. It's when you start to get 40 years, then you lose your remembrance and intelligence. When you are 50 years old, you lose the effulgence of your skin. Like a normal person has some, you know, some atmosphere around him. But when we get 50, we lose it and we shrinkle a little. When we are 60, we lose our sight. We have to have glasses like the brother of Dayasindhu. This is an early, you are not yet 50. What's going on? When we are 70, then the men lose their semen. It's no longer produced. And that is very bad for the human body, because a lot of strength is there when it is, comes from the semen, which is not wasted. When you are 80 years, you lose your strength. And when you are 90, you lose your ability to think very deeply and very swiftly. And when you are 100, usually according to Ayurveda, you lose your movement because you fall dead on the ground. So this is how the Ayurveda describes how we lose. I see that some of you note down and want to repeat for those of you who came a little later. When you're 10, you lose your childhood. When you're 20, your growth. Until 30, your beauty. And the rest, I think you have all noted down. If you want this to hear this again for some reason, you can please tell me. So now, this is what we lose all the time. We are moving all the time towards our ultimate loss, which was here, the death. Now, let us see how people react towards death. I have asked Nandimukhi, a rare guest in Slovenia, to read a few announcements from the newspaper. Can you give this? So we will hear how people feel who have just experienced a death. And these are, maybe you can help us, from where these news are. They are from the newspaper of...
To najnovejše delo, današnje delo, sveži oglasi in usmrtnice. In tukaj smo izbrali nekaj posebnih, se pravi vse skupaj pet, ki jih bom sedaj prebrala. Zamrli so vsi upi in sanje. Odšel je naš dragi Danilo Radović Braco. Kakor otrok v naročju svoje matere, tako se je moje srce umirilo v tebi. Mirno je zaspala v Gospodu naša ljubljena žena, mamica in sestra, Sonja Jarm, rojena Helmih iz Kočevja. Migla se v dušo je vselila, srce je zaliva dež hladan, samoten iščem toplo dlan, ki kruha z mano bi delila. Z bolečino smo se poslovili od Tadeja Milavca, dijaka 3. F razreda strojne šole. Ostal nam bo v trajnem spominu. Sošolci in kolektiv srednje šole Postojna. Tem je tu ena zahvala. Niti z Bogom nisi rekel, niti roke nam podal, le tiho, mirno si zaspal. To je zahvala ob nenadni izgubi našega dragega Cirila Komotarja, starejšega iz Lukovice. Iskreno se zahvaljujemo vsem, ki ste nam v težkih trenutkih stali ob strani in darovali cvetje ter sveče. Tem je pa obletnica odhoda enega gospoda, je pesem Tebi, Vlado. Kako je tam? Je mir, obrano petje, nihče med nas od tamkaj se ne vrne, čeprav prezgodaj zemlja ga zagrne. Kot tebe, Vlado, tisto je poletje. 5 let je že, ko si učel za večno tjakaj, enkrat vsak poroma, tam si brez nas in žalostnega doma, na grob to sklanja se srce nesreče.
This is how people react when there is death all of a sudden coming into their lives, and very often it is connected with sadness and also insecurity. I wish that all these people who have written in the newspaper today could be in our seminar, because I think it would help them to deal with the pain and get a more, let me say, a wiser understanding. I have made a little investigation how in our Western civilization death is dealt with. Sure. One moment here. People see death as a type of sleep. And this comes, you know, when they say, oh, he slept peacefully and went over to the death. He has fallen asleep forever. He has closed his eyes forever. In other words, death is seen in the West as a sleep, and you can see this in the announcement of death. Another concept of death is, it's like a departure. Departure means, for instance, the people write, he has left us forever. He has gone. He has left our midst. Or we say goodbye to him. He has gone now to a higher life, and so on. Another concept is that death is something like a return. And this is expressed in the announcements of death, that he has gone home. He has gone home in peace. Or he has, if the people are religiously minded, gone into the kingdom of God. Now, there is another concept which is very much in our Western civilization prevalent, which is very prevalent in our civilization. And this concept, in this concept, death is seen more from the perspective of the people who are left behind, who are staying amongst the living and are lamenting for those who have gone into the kingdom of death. And for them, death is like a very heavy loss. I will write it big, in big letters. For instance, death has taken so-and-so forever from us. We have lost so-and-so. God has taken